Well, welcome to your February Montgomery County Farm Bureau Report. I'm Katie Wilson, manager for Montgomery County, and this month we travel to East Fork Township and visit with Farm Bureau Director Brad Young. Brad has a row crop operation and has also been keeping busy with goats this winter.
Well, we're about half and half of corn and soybeans. We're 400 acres of corn and 400 acres of soybeans, and we are on 15-inch corn and soybeans. We started that changeover about 5 years ago because we are in the southern part of the county, and it seems like our soils are more droughty. And so to manage our water and to try to get to the next level of yields with our soil, we just assumed that we could space our corn out more to utilize our nutrients in our water. So that's where we're at with that. Like I said, we're in section 32. Well, that's where I live at, in section 32, but most of the ground that we farm is rent ground, and it's south of the prison, south of Hillsboro, and southeast of Hillsboro. So
family members involved on the operation?
My dad and my mom. I couldn't do it really without them. My dad's 82 this year. My mom is an excellent cook and gives us a lot of rides back and forth to the fields. And so it's just me and my dad, and occasionally my son, who has a job, will come in and help us. We have a few friends that come in and help us for a few weeks during harvest time. So we really appreciate them. That's majority of it.
Sounds great. Since you were mentioning, you know, where you're located, I just had a thought that you were in the area of where the devastating fire was last fall. And I thought maybe we could just talk about that for a few minutes. Was any of your ground damaged, and what was your experience with the fire like?
It just barely missed our property. It unfortunately got my neighbors. We were harvesting west of Panama when the fire, people started calling me and said my house is going to burn. And so we really hustled over here to get over here. And of course, nothing was hooked up. We couldn't find a hitch pin to put in our disc. And so that was like panic. So we found a hitch pin and got over here and started disking and got over into the neighbor's field to help him put out his fire, disc around their homestead and their hay fields. And unfortunately, I had to go disc some of their corn down, which is, I guess, to a farmer, that is the hardest thing to do, disc down some standing corn. But we got the fire out.
I have to imagine that was a very stressful and unnerving afternoon.
It really was. Because we were coming down 127 heading north, and we could see the smoke. And of course, it was in the area of our farm, and you see all these black puffs of smoke. And I had people call me and say, "Hey, your house is going to burn." And so I'm in a combine, and you know, it's only going 15, 20 mile an hour. You know, so
sure.
We had a lot of friends that come picked us up off the highway, and so yeah, it was really frightening. And but like I said, I really feel for my neighbors because they're the ones that really had to deal with it.
Sure. Well, I'm glad that things worked out and your house did not burn, so that's great. And hopefully, we don't have to deal with that situation ever again.
God, I hope not.
I think everyone in this area hopes not.
But it is good to see when you get so many people, you know, that, you know, come to the aid of other people. And but the, like I said, I think we mentioned before that the sightseers almost got in the way. I mean, you know, we're trying to get down the road with our disc, and we got duals on our tractors, and the roads are just lined with people just to watch. So that was kind of difficult.
Yeah, not exactly a time when you needed an audience either, I'm sure.
Right.
Well, right. Brad, thanks for that update. I wanted to also talk about not only your farm, and we still have some livestock things to talk about, but I'm going to skip forward to your involvement on the County Farm Bureau Board. You're a director, have been on the board a few years now. How did your involvement start with Farm Bureau, and you know, what was your purpose behind serving? What got you involved?
Well, we've always been Farm Bureau members, and you know, just wanting to be around other farmers, getting their inputs. It wasn't so much about setting policies or anything like that for me. It was just more, and I shouldn't say it, just sit around and BS or anything, but it's always kind of good. I mean, for myself to, I don't know, talk to other farmers, see where they're at. We don't get that opportunity too much in agriculture anymore. You know, competition, we got, you know, farmers in different counties farming next to you, and you don't know who they are. And so it brings back old faces. When I was on the Farm Bureau Young Leaders way back when, there was a lot of the same guys, Paul Beeler, you know, Phil Borgic, a bunch of those that we got to see and talk to when we were younger. And now we, you know, we're all grown up now. So it's just nice to have someone to talk to that's in farming, and just, you know, share stories and so forth. I went to Western Illinois University, but I graduated kind of early because of my dad got hurt. And so I really didn't get to finish my bachelor's degree. I was a few hours short, but they gave me a degree in agriculture, and which is kind of rare for Western to do that. But I put in the hours, but came back, and I really wanted to finish my degree. So I think education is another part of why I'm on that committee at the Farm Bureau. I think education is important, but with technology just changing rapidly, it's hard to stay on top of everything. But I actually got to finish my degree at Greenville College 16 years later through the GOAL program. And I think education opened a lot of doors for me, because I don't believe I'd probably been on any boards if I hadn't went back and got my degree. You kind of get, I don't know, you call it a rut. You know, you're doing the same farming things day after day, day after day. And so you get a challenge. I think education keeps you challenged. And I think being on the boards keeps everybody involved, keeps you from getting stale, I think. So.
Well, that's great. And Farm Bureau is not the only local board that you've been involved on that's related to agriculture.
No, I've been on the Soil and Water Board here at the county for several years. And I got off of that, and then I started serving for the Farm Bureau. I'm currently with them, and then I'm currently with the Hillsboro Area Hospital Board. And that's that was a new challenge for me. They didn't realize what all they do there. So it's and with this COVID thing, you just got to take your hat off to the faculty and the people there. I mean, all the stuff they've had to deal with, from finances to just this illness has just been overwhelming.
I can only imagine what they have gone through. So nice to hear you say that and recognize them.
Yep. I don't think we could recognize them enough. I mean, they're the whole staff. I mean, when I go to the board meetings, and of course it's on Zoom, and just hearing what they have to deal with, and it's just, I don't feel worthy to be on the board. I mean, for what those people actually do. So
hats off to them.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, before we finish up today, another thing I wanted to ask you about is, you know, you told us about your farming operation, but we didn't get to talk about the livestock you currently have. And I wanted to ask you about your goats. So tell us all about them and how you brought goats to the farm and what's happening with them now.
Well, we started in the goats in 2018. We bought 10 young does. They were about 6 months old. We bought them from Emily and Mark Hughes of Hillsboro. And they're Kiko goats. And the reason why we chose Kiko goats, because they're pretty hardy. They're originally from like New Zealand. And so they're just adapted to rugged stuff. I mean, they eat brush and all kinds of things, but they're kind of self-reliant. I mean, we have shelter and things for them, but I've watched them sit out in a 3-inch rain. Yeah. they just do their own thing. They're very low maintenance. And like I said, they're very hardy. I had the facilities, some old gestation buildings and some nursery buildings from my hog days. And so we converted those into our nursery, where they give birth at. And so they've kind of adapted to going in and out of the shed. We keep the babies in there. And so we're on our second crop of kids. So we got one left to have babies. We've had 9 mothers have their babies so far. So the reason why we really got into them is because we've had comments about, you know, our family coming and visit and said, boy, this ain't much of a farm. You don't have any livestock anymore. So I thought, well, I've had hip replacement and my dad's had hip replacement. And I thought, well, I'm not getting back into the cows to be a farmer, you know, so they're just too big. And I thought, let's try some goats. And so my son and I we're kind of in partnership with the goats.
So you talk about, so for sheep, it's lambing. For goats,
it's kidding.
I'm not exactly sure what it's called. They're kidding, maybe?
They're kidding, right.
So I don't know much about goats. Do they have just one? Do they have multiple, like twins?
This year, or the first time that they gave birth last year, we had all twins but one.
Wow.
Yeah, did really well. We didn't have to assist them at all, and that was the great part. My granddaughters just love them. I mean, they pick them up like cats, and so they love them. And basically, that's the reason why we did get into it. We're hoping that they'll be interested in maybe doing some 4-H projects or any of those type of shows, show them or something. That's one thing about the Kiko breed, though. There's really no breed standard, whereas like a boar goat, they're just like a pure line, but the Kikos are kind of they came from a feral goat and they bred them to dairy goats in New Zealand, and they brought them over here and people's mixed them up, but give them very little grain. We give them hay. And other than that, they grow pretty fast. The Kiko goat is a meat goat. They're probably not as meaty as a boar goat, but they can survive on just about anything. If you got any brush, briars, poison ivy, they just love that stuff.
Brad Young, Montgomery County Farm Bureau Director from East Fork Township. For WSMI, I'm Katie Wilson.